all of the singing, all of the prayers, the dedication, all of our efforts mean absolutely nothing unless we are personally dedicated as well to the cause of preaching and teaching the message of His coming, that is, the return of Jesus, the resurrection, and the message of the kingdom of God on the earth. Many years ago, in fact, more than 30 years ago, I penned these words which were published, and this is the message that I wrote at that time. Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." The important thing is that we do not rest at the oars and forget our personal obligations, but go on to preach the Word of God as it is real. God who created the universe is today the same God, endued with the same power that brought this universe into existence. The same Jesus who walked the shores of Galilee, calling the disciples to service, is pleading with men even now. The same Word of God is being used to change the hearts and lives of men and women. The gospel of Jesus' day is the gospel for our day. God is promising now, "My word shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." God has ordained that through the church the world would hear of Jesus and the great salvation through Him. God is still blessing His church. The church fails only because it has failed God. It is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. We must return then to the same old story, to the same kingdom message, to the same message that was presented in centuries past, realizing that this message and this message alone will change hearts and lives and will give purpose to life as it is lived today. In the midst of difficult times, the message of the words of Jesus as He spoke to the disciples and presented to them the kingdom prayer, the prayer of our Lord Jesus, often called the Lord's Prayer. He spoke in this manner according to Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 9th verse. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Or, O God, let your name be exalted, because yours is a name above all others. You have created heavens and earth. Let your name be reverenced." Further, He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." I believe that this is and should be the prayer of all of God's people. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. When we think of this, we think, well, that sounds real easy. After all, we can pray and the kingdom will come and the redeeming power of God will touch God's people and we shall live with Him. But let's think a little bit more about the matter of our dedication, of our consecration to the service of Almighty God. I think often of the parable of the sower, recorded in the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. As I read there in Matthew 13, the 3rd verse, it says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Now often in the explanation of this particular text, it is said that, well, after all, the sower went out, he threw some seed around, some fell in the stony place, and some fell among thorns, and other seed fell among the good, into the good ground, and it brought forth some of it a hundredfold and more. And it said, well, that's great. It's the story of the seed. No, it's not alone the story of the seed, but it's the story of the sower. It's the story of the individual who had faith. It's the story of the individual who took up the seed, who thought about the harvest time. And so he had to get himself out of bed early in the morning. And he had to work early, and he had to work late and prepare the soil. And he had to sort out the seed and get it ready. and decide and determine that this was good seed, and that he knew that there were some that would fall here and there. The birds would get some. And we always said at home on the farm, we planted some for the crow and some for the bugs and some for ourselves. And so all together, we know that this is a part of life. And so we see here, behold, the sower went forth to sow. Well, it reminds me that we have, too, a purpose. That in the process of life, that we are not simply to come on stage and play out our little act, as it were, having our entrances and our exits, as Shakespeare said many years ago, but rather that we are to do something that is worthwhile with our lives. And then when we do something that is worthwhile with our lives, then in turn, blessing comes upon ourselves and upon others whom we meet along the way. In a sense, it might sound a little selfish to do good, because the Scripture says, cast your bread upon the waters, and it will return unto you after many days. So there is a very practical purpose in doing that which is right and proper in this present day. Again, Jesus pointed out that there is something of a harsh way, if I may put it that way. In the 16th chapter of the same Gospel according to Matthew, we find these words, verse 24. Matthew 16 and 24, it says this: Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Again, the matter of dedication. Again, the matter of consecration to a cause. Again, a matter of putting purpose into your life. Let if it says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Not that he's saying here, all right, let's go out and say in the name of Jesus, I'll go out and stand in traffic on the freeway. No. He's talking about giving yourself in dedicated service, no matter what may come. And as we find, and we'll not turn to this, but in the roster of faith that we find in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we find a whole listing of individuals who were willing to lose their lives or give their lives for the gospel's sake. They did not lose it eternally, of course. They had a promise of life. The Scripture says that they might obtain a better resurrection. We recognize that there are two resurrections. There will be the resurrection of the just, and there will also be a resurrection of the unjust. There will be a resurrection to life, and there will be a resurrection to condemnation. And so therefore, Jesus is exhorting these people for a very definite purpose, that they might not only take upon themselves, as it were, in a sense, the burden of the cross, their cross, the things that they would be called upon to bear for his name's sake, but that they might find the joy of the hope of life everlasting in the coming kingdom of God. Now we find then, as we take up this cross, I believe that we are all familiar with Mark 16, 15, and 16, where it says that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel, or the message that was given to the disciples of that day, and I believe also is given to us even now. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. So here again is part of the commission. There again is the part of the gospel mission to be fulfilled through your life. You are commissioned. You have been commissioned to be through your life a preacher of the Word of God. Perhaps not in the sense in which your pastor presents the Word this morning, but nevertheless, you have the opportunity to present the message to others. In the book of 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the book of 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul is writing to the young man Timothy. We must remember that these the books as we have them in the Bible were once letters written to others, to build them up in the most holy faith, to exhort them to go on to live, to encourage them when there were trials and difficulties. And so we find 2 Timothy 4, the Apostle Paul writing to the young man Timothy says, verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. If I might digress for just a moment, I would like you to notice that the reason he was encouraging this man, young man, was that there would be the appearing of Christ, and there would be the coming of the kingdom. And this should be incentive enough to go on to do that which should be done. So he says this then, that since you have been commissioned to preach, since you have been commissioned to be one of God's people, since you are commissioned to preach the kingdom of God, I tell you, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And then he goes on to tell them the reason he's saying this is because the time would come when there would be those who wouldn't be willing to listen to the message of the kingdom of God. And nevertheless, he is exhorted to go on. He is encouraged to go on, to be true to his calling. Why? Because it tells us in Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew 24, verses 13 and 14. Matthew 24, verses 13 and 14. Jesus, in telling of the signs of the times and the end of the age, Jesus telling about the troubles which would come upon the earth, Jesus telling them about those who might, because of their love of the world, wax cold concerning the gospel message, according to the 12th verse. But you notice verse 13, Matthew 24, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But notice here that there is a matter of involvement of the person. And it says, and this gospel of the kingdom, verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached or published in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Again, the importance of dedicated service. Again, the importance of presenting the word of God. When Paul, in his last journey, stood before the elders of Ephesus, he told them that he had given to them his very best. He had presented to them the word of life. He had presented to them the right way. And then he turned it over to them to go on to live. And so we are here in the house of God today for just a few moments, but we go out into the world to live the word of God, to preach by our lives, to teach by our lives, and by the example of our lives, the word of God. And so he says here now, this is a truth that must be remembered. The gospel of the kingdom must be preached or published as a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. So it's important then that in our own day, in our own way, wherever we are, we be true to the gospel message. We be true to the message of the kingdom of God, to tell the world that God will send his son, Jesus Christ. Why? I would like you to go with me now to the book of 2 Timothy, the first chapter. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Again, the exhortation to be true to your calling. And notice here these words. And we will note verses 10 and 11. 2 Timothy 1, verses 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. In one sense, at this point, it's selfish, but isn't really, because it's a matter of, first of all, learning and living and enjoying the way, shall I say, learning of and living and then enjoying the life that is dictated, or shall I say, presented by the word of life. The hope of your calling is here contained. For it says here that if you make your calling election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. What has he told them? He has told them in the preceding verses to give all diligence. Verse 5, to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that she shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like to see a dedicated person. I like to see a person who is dedicated to the cause, to a cause. But tragically, many, many people are dedicated to causes that will bring nothing but trouble for themselves. I could not help but notice this past week as they were talking about some of the so-called great singers, and I put italics around that, the question marks around it. I note that how they have lived. They've been dedicated to certain things, but what has come as a result? Death for many of them. Troubles, heartaches galore, greater than the troubles that others may face. But the scripture tells us in verse 11, 2 Peter 1, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now as you serve God, as you're consecrated to his service, as you're dedicated to the will of God, it says that God in turn is dedicated to do something for you. For he will grant to you through the mercies of God and through Jesus Christ at the redemption and the redemption today and entrance into at last the everlasting kingdom of our God and his Christ. Luke 22 and verse 29, it points out that there has been appointed to each of us a kingdom, or to those who would serve. There is appointed to us a kingdom. Now the message that I would like you to leave with you this morning is simply this. Jesus Christ is coming again to give life to his own. He is coming again to give life to those who would serve him today. He is coming again not to give temporal life but everlasting life. Jesus Christ is coming again to establish the eternal kingdom of God upon the earth. Jesus Christ is coming again to take over the nations of this world. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, or the kingdom of God shall be above all kingdoms of this world, according to Isaiah 2. Jesus Christ is coming to give his people everlasting life. There'll be no United States of America or the Bolshevist republics which have been established here and there under Russia. There'll be no east nor west, north or south. There'll be none of these things which cause so much trouble today. Rather, those things will be swallowed up eventually by the power of the kingdom of God, by the power that God has vested in his Son, Jesus Christ, by the power that he has vested in his those who would live and rule and reign with him. Jesus is coming again. Acts 1:11 tells us this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and the 4th verse says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This is our eternal hope. This is why we're here. This is why we just rang a bell briefly. This is why we had a dedication service. But more than all else, I want you to be dedicated to the service of God through Christ Jesus, that you'll give your heart, your lives to the service of God, that you'll serve God and Jesus Christ instantly, that you'll serve him on a moment-by-moment basis, that you might be ready to hear that when you hear that trumpet sound, you'll hear it not with fear, with joy in your heart, because you'll know you'll be heralding the return of your Lord, your Savior, your Redeemer, your coming King.